What we're gonna do right here is go back, way back, back into time.
This is Butch Slaughter, and you're listening to the Echoes of Indiana Avenue. Welcome to my neighborhood, the Avenue. I grew up here, and each week I'll be sharing the sounds and stories of the people that made the Avenue great. Welcome back to the Avenue. For the next 2 weeks, we'll be joined by the legendary Naptown jazz vocalist Everett Green. Everett Green has been performing in Indianapolis since the mid-1950s. During his historic career, Everett has performed with jazz legends like Wes Montgomery and Dave Baker. And in recent years, Everett has toured the world as a vocalist for the Count Basie Band. Everett has also enjoyed a distinguished career in gospel music, performing with Naptown greats like Beatrice Brown, Dennis Freeman, and the Jordanaires. And Everett continues to add to his legacy. Earlier this year, he released a new album titled You're Gonna Hear From Me, a collection of 15 tracks recorded with pianist Steve Ali.
It's time to end my lonely holiday and bid the country a hasty farewell. So on this gray and melancholy day, I'll move to a Manhattan hotel. I'll dispose of my rose-colored chattels and prepare for my share of adventures and battles. Here on the 27th floor, looking down on a city I hate and adore.
And Everett will be performing at a special concert on Saturday, October the 15th, at Indiana Landmarks. The event is titled Mood Indigo, and it features Everett Green in concert with the Indianapolis Symphonic Choir. Go to indychoir.org for more information. Everett Green will join us in a moment, but first, let's hear a track off his latest album, You're Gonna Hear From Me. This is Everett Green and Steve Ali with My Ship.
My ship's aglow with a million pearls, and rubies fill each bin. The sun sets high in a sapphire sky when my ship comes in.
That was Everett Green and Steve Ali with My Ship. And Everett Green is our guest this week. He recently spoke with WFYI's Kyle Long. Let's join their conversation as Everett discusses his early years in Indianapolis.
And Everett, you told me you came to Indianapolis in 1955, right?
1955, yeah, I came here.
What was the city like when you arrived here? You were coming from Washington, D.C.
Well, I'd come through here in 54 when I came back from Korea, spent a week. So I just came back when I got discharged for a weekend, so to, you know, initially, you know. So my mom said, well, you might as well stay a week. So 1 week turned to two, and 2 weeks turned to boredom, you know. But in the meantime, I was going out hanging out. I discovered Indiana Avenue. I mean, it was music you would not believe, you know. So, but like I said, about me being initially a doo-wopper, you know, back in the D.C. area, getting out to hear some of this other music, which I was always familiar with it, but I had never been this close to it. So, anyway, one day a guy told me, said, oh, man, I know you can get a job. You don't mind getting dirty. Which I finally took a job in a foundry, and I found dirt that you couldn't wash off over the weekend.
International Harvester, right?
International Harvester, yeah. But, you know, I have absolutely no regrets about what happened in my life. You know, I've worked hard with, I joined one of the churches, and I sang in the choir, and I was always an octave lower. So I got a chance to go out and hang out and sit in with some of the guys, you know, doing a lot of teas and weddings and things like that. So you go to clubs, they had jam sessions everywhere on Saturdays. You know, you go Saturday afternoon jam session, and the guys taught you, you know. They may not want you to show up, but when you come, they will give you instructions. You know, they would give you pointers, and you will work, and you listen, and you watch, you know. So that's what I tell folks, kids today. I say, listen, you got to listen to what's going on and see what you need to do. You know, you don't copy the person. Just listen to what they're doing. Watch how they're watching other people. They're just working together. You know, this is not an individual thing, you know, because when you work together as a band, then you don't know how good you can be, you know. But it was just a thing that they had all that stuff going on back in those days, you know. George's Bar, the Cactus Club, and all the places hanging. So the guys were hanging. There were a lot of big bands here, you know. Eldridge Morrison, I sang with his band a lot, you know. So it was a lot of good musicians here in this city, you know. So, but this is how I got a chance to stay here.
When you first got to Indianapolis, right, you'd been singing doo-wop. You were in a group called the Melodares. Is that right?
Melodares, yeah.
When you came to Indianapolis, there were several successful doo-wop groups here, the Counts, the Four Sounds. What did you think of these groups?
I was working with the group, man. Jimmy Scruggs.
The Four Sounds.
We had a group of Billy Mays, Jimmy Scruggs, and Clyde, what's Clyde's name? I can't think of what Clyde's name. We had a good group. Good group, you know. But nobody could get along. I said, you can't have a good singing group or whatever kind of group if nobody can get along, you know. So
what was the name of the group?
We didn't have a name
okay.
yet.
Okay, you didn't even get that far.
No, didn't get that far. We were just in the rehearsal stage, you know. I mean, it was like, it was super hot, you know. And that's before, I think, Scruggs and those guys signed it. They got another group, and the bass singer was, his brother was a big-time singer somewhere. I can't think of his name now. I think our group was better than the one they finally ended up with, you know, but what can I say? I'm just partial that way, you know.
When you're alone, who cares for starlit skies? When you're alone, the magic moonlight dies.
Who were some of the singers when you came to Indianapolis? Were there singers here you gravitated towards or became a fan of?
Aretha was here.
Aretha Bush.
And,
Aretha Lamar.
Aretha Lamar and Debbie Andrews.
Yeah, incredible
yeah,
singer.
Yeah, she was good.
Sang with Duke Ellington.
Yeah. She was a good singer. And there wasn't a whole lot of balladeers, you know, around. You know, a lot of blues singers, you know.
What lonely hours, the evening shadows bring. What lonely hours.
You mentioned Debbie Andrews and Aretha Lamar. Did you ever know about Little Miss Cornshucks?
I heard Little Miss Cornshucks before I even came to Indianapolis.
Yeah.
You know, what was the song? When the rain was falling from the skies above, my poor heart was calling for you came to me in the rain.
Yeah.
Song she sang. And Rocky German was her manager. Mm. You know, I knew Rocky really well when I came here, but Little Miss Cornshucks evidently was gone by the time I got here in 55.
Okay.
But I knew Rocky well. But yeah, I heard Little Miss Cornshucks in come to the Howard Theater in D.C. You know, That was one of my living places, one of the places I would go hang out all the time.
And she lived here for most of her life, but I think she was kind of a recluse. She didn't perform.
Did you know
she was here or know anything about it? Or?
That's what I heard. Yeah, you know. Yeah. But she was so, when she was on the stage, little braids, you know, and you would never think that she was, you know, anybody, but so she started singing.
When the rain was falling from the skies above, my poor heart was calling for someone to love. Then I said a prayer, you were standing there. You came to me in the rain. There we were together.
Let's pause and listen to a track from Everett Green's 2002 album, I've Got Love. This is Everett Green with A Nightingale Sang in Berkeley Square.
I know such enchantment can be, 'cause it happened one evening to me. That certain night, the night we met, there was magic abroad in the air. There were angels dining at the Ritz, and a nightingale sang in Berkeley Square.
That was Everett Green with A Nightingale Sang in Berkeley Square. And Everett Green is our guest for the next 2 weeks. Let's return to our conversation with Everett as he recalls the nightlife on Indiana Avenue, his connection with West Montgomery, and the Indiana Avenue gambling kingpin, Tuppy Mitchell.
Everett, I want to go back to your arrival here in Indianapolis, and I wanted you to talk about some of the clubs you were playing at, some of the venues. I know you played at the Golden Bubble at one point.
Golden Bubble, I'm not familiar with that one.
It turned into the Pink Poodle.
Well, you know,
it was out in Barrington.
Yeah, you know, but I always thought it was the Pink Poodle.
Yeah,
it's Tuffy Mitchell.
Yeah, did you know Tuffy? I wanted to ask you
about
that.
Yeah. Tuffy and Maury had the club on up on Meridian, 22nd Meridian. Yeah, my brother worked there a lot with Maury. But, yeah, I sang at the Pink Poodle.
Yeah.
You know, and, God, there was some good shows going on out there.
Right,
Aretha Franklin
played there.
Yeah.
A lot of the big acts came there.
Yeah. Big acts, small acts, but everybody was like, you know, and to think that a club so out of the way, you wouldn't get the people, but they was always packed.
What kind of guy was Tuffy Mitchell? He had a bad reputation.
He was a bad
right?
reputation, you know. Tuffy didn't take no stuff, you know. Yeah. And nobody messed with Tuffy, you know. He was a little short guy, you know, but with a cigar. And, he was, you work with him, he paid you good, you know, at that time, you know, it was decent, but you may make $35, $40 a night, something like that, but it was good money then, you know, so, but.
What other clubs were you singing in?
There were clubs all over town, man, yeah. You know, 40th Street, the 40th Street Tavern, you had, there was a place over the pool hall, not the pool, bowling alley on 34th in Illinois. Yeah. There was the topper,
yeah, the top
hat,
yeah.
You know, and Mr. B's, the Cactus Club. And, man, they were like, okay, the club down on, I work with Erman Hubbard at a club over George's Bar. Yeah. I mean, the steps were like a ladder, you know, you go way up, you know, and it was good old after-hours place, you know. But there were so many.
Yeah, yeah.
There were so many clubs within, from Illinois Street all the way up to 10th Street. Yeah. You know, it was a bunch of clubs in there.
Did you ever play at the Missile Room?
Play what?
Missile Room?
Oh, yeah. I was there a lot of times, you know. That was a place to hang, you know.
Yeah.
You know, I think I was right there right after Wes was discovered, you know. Mm-hmm. Cannonball came, when they started playing Cannonball, come sit in the front row. Hands behind his head, you cross his legs, you know, before they got finished. You know, he had called New York, you know, you got to hear this guy, you know. Well, Wes had been out already, you know, doing some things. See, Wes was my next-door neighbor.
Yeah, do you want to talk about that?
Well, you know, it was just, I don't know how it just happened. We moved there, and I met him at the club, you know, and I knew, we knew each other. Wes was like, he had his own group, but again, I got a chance to, once I started going to the club, you know, we became friends. And one particular time when he was sitting on his porch playing, and I asked, I said, Benny, do you know Willow Wee for Me? He said, oh, I hadn't played that in a long time. So every time I'd hear him record, he recorded it a lot. Every time I heard it, I said, okay, I'll put that in his mind to start playing again, you know. But yeah, but you know, we were good friends. I was better friends with Buddy. I did a lot more stuff with Buddy than I did with Wes, you know. But Wes was a cool cat, man. He was smoked constantly, you know. And he was a. They had a good group. Earl Van Riper on the piano, and Willis Kirk on the drums, and Mingo was on the bass until he went out with Jimmy Cole, and then Jimmy Johnson.
And you did an engagement with Wes, right?
For
a week at Hub Hub?
Yeah, yeah. This is what happened. This is where they would have the amateur night, so to speak. You know, when the amateurs come in and sing, and whoever wins get a chance to work a week. You know, so I got that week's work, and like I said, I don't know if I ever got paid. But it wasn't about the money, it was the opportunity to hang out with the guys, you know.
Surprise you when Wes became such a big star?
No.
Yeah.
Nobody was.
Yeah.
Because Wes was the star. Wes was, people were coming in town to see Wes.
Even before his fame.
Not long before then.
People,
you know,
in the music
business, he was coming in town, but he too had a family, you know, and he wanted the stability, you know, which I can understand, you know, he had a lot of kids. But then I guess when something come along that he couldn't resist, you know, when somebody gave you an offer like he got, and I don't know what the offer was, but I know it had to be something really big for him to leave here and do what he did. And it was a good thing, man, because everybody, you know, everybody fell in love with Wes. ¶¶
Echoes of Indiana Avenue will return with more words and music from Everett Green after this short break. WFYI is always here for you and here for your neighbor, because people like you give monthly to WFYI. Listener support is what makes it possible for us to reach people, not only here on radio, but also through our website, podcasts, and the WFYI app. With your financial support, we can continue to keep our community connected and well-informed. Become a sustaining member today by choosing a monthly donation that works for you. Go to wfyi.org/give and set up the amount you want taken out of your bank account every month. It's easy, and you will have peace of mind knowing that you are making it possible for you and your neighbor to access educational and inspirational programs. As a nonprofit, we rely on you. Become a member of WFYI today, and thank you. This is Butch Slaughter, and you're listening to the Echoes of Indiana Avenue. You're tuned in to the first episode of our two-part conversation with the legendary Naptown jazz vocalist Everett Green. Everett will be performing at a special concert on Saturday, October the 15th at Indiana Landmarks. The event is titled Mood Indigo, and it features Everett Green in concert with the Indianapolis Symphonic Choir. Go to indychoir.org for more information. Before we return to our conversation with Everett, let's listen to a track from his album, My Foolish Heart, released in the year 2000. This is Everett Green with When Did You Leave Heaven, featuring Houston Person on sax.
I am only human, but you are so divine. When did you leave heaven? Angel mine.
That was Everett Green with When Did You Leave Heaven? Everett recently spoke with WFYI's Kyle Long. Let's return to their conversation as Everett recalls performing in the after-hours clubs of Naptown.
Everett, I wanted to go back to something you mentioned earlier about playing at after-hours clubs.
Okay.
Did you do a lot of that?
I did a lot. Yeah, I did a lot of that. That was the thing to do. You know, say, especially when you get in cahoots with the musicians, they don't mind you coming in and sitting in, you know. So,
what was the atmosphere like?
Man, it was just like it was an afternoon club, yeah. Afternoon sets. You know, they were always crowded. You know, in fact, I was still working at the time, and the jam sets last till 3, 4, sometimes 5 in the morning, and you go home at 5 o'clock in the morning. You got to go to work at 6. Wow, you know, where you been?
Were you ever afraid that you were going to get busted by the police? Or
was I? No. Yeah. No, I'd never been to one of those crazy places.
Yeah.
You know, where that there was a couple of them that I know over on College, where I know they raided a couple of times, but most of the ones we go to on the Avenue and out there on 40th Street. You know, there's one somewhere out in the Hogville area. And I mean, that's where everybody congregated. People would leave the clubs and go to get their seats, you know.
Do you remember the names of any of the clubs you used to go to after hours?
All I remember is the Missile Room.
Yeah, that was an After Hours place, 40th
club, Street,
right?
Yeah, that was the After Hours place.
Yeah.
And the 40th Street Tavern, it was After Hours. I can't think of the place that was up over the George's Bar.
Man, I can't think of it. Player's Den?
Huh?
Wasn't the Player's Den?
No, that was the name of it. I know. See, and you get to this stage in your life, man, you forget a lot of stuff.
Sure.
I tell folks I got too many lyrics in my head to remember anything else.
You don't want to forget that, yeah.
So, but it was a lot of places to work. That's what was a good thing, but you may not be making a whole lot of money. You make some of the places you were making a decent amount of money, but there was always some place to work because there were so many clubs here that were, you know, I mean, so many of them.
Everett's early career as a nightclub entertainer was marred by a bad contract he signed after winning a local talent contest. As a result, he avoided performing in Naptown nightclubs throughout much of the 1960s and 70s.
I win a recording contract from the same guy who's been pursuing me for over a month, and not thinking to look at it again, you signed it, then you realize you signed your life away, you know. So if I had made a dollar, he got 40 cents. That's the way it was rewarded. It wasn't just talking about music. It was talking about what I made, you know. So that's the way it was came out. So like I said, I stayed out of the jazz clubs and things like that did some teas and things like that, but never wanted to go into a club to... I was really disenchanted with the music, you know. So that's how I got involved in the gospel thing, you know, with coming hook up with my sister sing with the Dennis's group.
Yeah.
And they had a good group, man. They had really good singers. And I would follow them everywhere. And somebody didn't show up and said, come on, man, join it. So that was my invitation, you know. So, but we had a lot of fun.
Everett, what was the record company?
Graylow.
Graylow.
It was supposed to have been a subsidiary of Decca.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, but I never heard of it before or since.
Yeah. You never recorded anything for them?
No. Yeah. After I saw the contract that I signed, he called hell trying to find me, you know, because I was nowhere near where he would ever be, you know.
Yeah.
So I did that for like 10 years, you know.
Wow.
I didn't go near any music. None of the clubs anywhere, you know.
Mm.
So, I was like really, really disenchanted with the music world, you know, the things that happened.
Mm.
But that was something that I was like completely disenchanted by. And I go to my brothers. My brother lived in California. And that's what got me back into the music, wanting to do it again, you know. He and Gloria Lynn were really good friends. And I went out there, I sat in with them there one day and, I got offered a job, you know, for 2 weeks. I said, you know, 2 weeks? What am I going to do the third week?
Yeah.
The man say, well, you know, if we can find some work. I said, listen, I got six years of work that I can retire. You know, I'm not going to give that up, you know. Say, well, you don't know. I said, no, I'm not going to take that chance. So, like I said, no regrets.
Let's pause and listen to the title track from Everett Green's latest album. This is Everett Green and Steve Ali with You're Gonna Hear From Me.
Listen, world, you can't ignore me. I've got a song that longs to be played. Raise up my flag. Begin my parade, then start the world over. Start coming up clover. That's how it's gonna be. You see, you're gonna hear from me.
was Everett Green and Steve Ali with You're Gonna Hear From Me. Let's return to our conversation with Everett as he discusses his work in gospel music. Everett has performed with many Naptown gospel greats, including Beatrice Brown, Dennis Freeman, and the Jordanaires.
And Everett, I did want to ask you today about your work in gospel music. A lot of people associate you with jazz, but you also have had a prolific career as a gospel singer, and you first recorded as gospel,
I love gospel artist,
right? You made your first recordings with the Dennis Freeman Singers and the Jordanaires, is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Tell me about your work in gospel.
Well, like I said, it came about when I got out of the jazz field, you know, and I was so disillusioned because of the contracts, and I would just hang out, you know, with Dennis and my sister singing in the group and my cousin, and so I'd just hang out with them. And when somebody didn't show up, he said, "Oh, come on, man, you know the songs. Come on and sing with us." So that's when I started singing with them, you know, and we did a lot of good things. We had a lot of fun because it was a good group. And Dennis is a good piano player and good writer. And he wrote some nice songs, and he's a good piano player, you know, and organist, you know. And then at the church that I was going to, they wanted to form a choir. So it was 13 of us initially who started rehearsing with the Jordanaires. As it got popular, people just started coming. You know, they were just coming, and before we knew, we had 75 people in the choir. You know, and they sounded as good as any choir you hear anywhere, you know. So we traveled a lot of places and did a lot of things, you know. And that was the only recording that we made. There's a couple questions I wanted to ask you about gospel music real quick. Did you ever work with Beatrice Brown? I sang with B. Brown Singers.
Really? Yeah. Tell me about Beatrice Brown.
Yeah, that was my mom sang with them.
Okay.
And I don't know how I got involved with them, I guess because knowing Lila and Miss B and all them folks, well, come on and sing with us, you know. So we travel a lot of places, man. We travel. Oh, my God. You know, it was good. It was just fun to have an opportunity to sing with B. Brown. We went to Wheeling, West Virginia, and we get to the church. Nobody there. B said, "Listen, we came this far. We gonna sing," you know. So they opened the church and put the speakers out. Man, before we finished, we had a full house of people, you know. Because B. Brown was a special lady, man. She was a special lady. In fact, I had seen her in D.C. and didn't know for sure, because Sugar sang with her back in those days. Sugar Poindexter.
Yeah, she had some major figures in her group. Della Reese sang with her. Raspberry, the gospel, who became a famous gospel musician.
I know she knew all that. I know Raymond Raspberry. I think Raymond Raspberry sang with her too for a while.
There's a picture of them But she was a big figure in gospel.
Yeah,
music, right?
Yeah.
She's kind of been forgotten here now.
She was the thing, man. Yeah. She was the thing. I love B. Brown, you know. Yeah. So she loved my mom too, you know. So that got me. I mean, I got a chance to do all of that.
Thank you.
let's pause and listen to another track from Everett Green. From the album My Foolish Heart, this is Everett Green with Don't Worry About Me, featuring Houston Person on sax.
Give your heart and your love to whomever you love. Don't be a fool. Darling, why should we cling to some fading thing that used to be? If you can forget, don't worry about me.
That's all the time we have this week. Thanks for listening. And tune in next week for the second half of our conversation with Everett Green. You can meet me here on the Avenue again next week, same time, same place. And you can find the Echoes of Indiana Avenue podcast on Spotify, iTunes, or wherever you download your podcast. Echoes of Indiana Avenue is written and produced by Kyle Long and hosted and co-produced by me, Herman Butch Slaughter.
Nobody knows on uptown, baby, like I do. Nobody knows on uptown, baby, like I do. Do. If you will stop and listen, I will tell you a thing or two. Two. When you get lonesome and want to have some fun, fun. When you get lonesome and want to have some fun, fun. You just grab a train and travel downtown somewhere, somewhere. Beep da dee dee ba 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 da da ba la bee ba, bee ba, beep da ba.